Hallelujah. Well, today I want to talk to you about doors and knocking on doors and opening doors and shutting doors. The other day, somebody came to our door. Now, in the old days, somebody came and knocked on the door. We'd say, "Who's there?" Because maybe, I know we didn't, growing up, I didn't have a peephole. Now, some people that are high-tech will have a peephole, kind of like in a hotel room, or you can see that. So you could check it out, because you got to check out those that knock on your door. Your door is shut for a reason. Most doors, most of the time, are expected to be shut. That's the default position of a door, is to be shut. It'll be shut more than it'll be open, right? For most doors. Unless it's a symbolic gate. Now in Jerusalem, they have gates that are pretty much open all the time. But most doors that swing on hinges will be shut most of the time. And so the door is it represents access or denial. And most of the time, the door is for the purpose of denial of entrance. And so someone knocked on our door or rang the doorbell. I don't have a peephole, but I have a camera. How many of you have a camera? Anybody have cameras? Boy, those are nice. And so I'm in my recliner, and I just look to the left and look on the screen, and I see if it's somebody I know or if it's somebody that I don't know. And it was a stranger, somebody I didn't know. I'd never seen him before. And he had come to the front door, and then he leaves, and then he comes around to the side door and knocks, and he's persistent. And I'm taking a little time to look at him. I'm thinking, is that somebody I know? I said, no, it's not somebody. So we're talking, and so I go to the door. I open the door, but I do not invite him in. He never comes through the door. I open the door to check it out. And come to find out, he was a neighbor that had just recently moved in the neighborhood, and he lost his cat. He's looking for his cat. But I didn't know that until I inquired. So I'm the gatekeeper. I'm the gatekeeper. And when others, other than our family, come, they knock. And that's the signal. Somebody is here that has to have permission to come in. And the gatekeeper, the one who owns the door or who is in charge of the door, makes the decision. Do we invite him in or do we say no and then shut the door back? The door represents security. The door represents a no. It represents a threshold whereby you must have permission to come through. The person who owns the door or the property owner has the authority to direct the traffic through that doorway, or to deny the traffic through that doorway. Well, the Bible talks about doors quite a bit. And in Revelation chapter 3, I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to 3, and we'll have it also on the screen, that you can see that it's very important to identify the gatekeeper who will decide to open or close, or keep it closed to others that may or may not want to do good or harm to us. We find that God is also a gatekeeper, and there are spiritual doors that He is in charge of. Let's look at Revelation chapter 3, and beginning at verse 9. And I want to call this message the awareness of doors, the awareness of doors. And the word awareness comes from the biblical word behold. Behold. Twice in Revelation chapter 3, the Holy Spirit says for us to behold two kinds of doors. The first one in Revelation 3:9, it tells us, behold. I'm sorry, let's back up to Revelation verse 7. I'm sorry, I had 9, but let's 7. Oh, thank you, Haley. And to the angel of the church, this is Jesus speaking, okay? Jesus says to the church in Philadelphia, "These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David." A lot of doors, most doors that you have and I have, they have locks on them. And if you have a key, then you're authorized to come through the door. If you don't have a key, you have to knock. Right? If you don't have a key, you knock before you come in. Well, here it says that Jesus has the key of David. And it says, "He that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth." That's Jesus. So Jesus is a gatekeeper of certain doors. And he has the authority, not us. He has the key, not us. But the door is for our benefit. It is for us to receive things from God. And it's also for the purpose of shutting, as most doors, as I said, most doors are shut most of the time. And that's for your benefit, so things or people do not come in. So it's shut, it's open, and Jesus said, "I open and I shut. I've got the key." So he determines for our benefit, decide what cannot come in to your life and what should come into your life. That's a wonderful thing to know, that God directs that traffic, stops that traffic, opens it up to certain traffic. But he's the gatekeeper and he's got the key. So this speaks to God's sovereignty. This speaks to God's authority. It speaks to God's independent will for us, where he chooses what is best for you by managing the door. He can lock her up and he can open it. And his authority is so wonderful. Look at this. "He that openeth and no man shutteth." Well, I like that. "Openeth and no man shutteth." And shutteth, that's for your protection. Some things don't need to come in. "And no man openeth." He goes on, he says, "I know thy works." He's talking to the church of Philadelphia. "I know thy works. Behold," again that word, behold, be aware. Look at this. "I have set before thee an open door." Wow. Now that tells you something is about to come in. You don't open that door unless something's coming in or someone, right? You follow me so far? And he said, "I have set before you an open door," and he's the one that's got the key. So he's totally in charge. And so he has ordained an open door for your life. And it could be a surprise. Now, it may be something you've prayed for. But it is God's sovereign will that is implemented in this door and this open door. And he said, "I have set before thee an open door." And he's already said he opens it and no man can shut it. Wow. And our doors, it's possible for someone to break it, break into it, break in, a robbery, a thief. So we could shut it and they could break it down. Or we could open it and somebody come by and just slam it shut. We could say, "Yes, I want this," and then somebody said, "No, we don't," and shut it. But when Christ opens a door in your life that he has the key to, if he opens it, I want you to know, upon the authority of the Word of God, no man can shut it. And the other way as well. He shuts it. No, you can't go into that house. You can't go into that life. Nope. Can't do it. And no man can open it. Isn't that wonderful? It's a wonderful thing. It's a blessing. And it's part of the inheritance of being a child of God. As part of the church, you have this protection of opening and shutting access points to your life. I'm kind of excited about that. Right? If you grab a hold of that, it'll be a blessing to you. And he says again, behold, aware. Behold means to look at this. Hey, look at this. He wants the church at Philadelphia to look or behold on this truth. I have set before thee an open door, behold it, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength. Oh, that's nice, because sometimes I don't have the... You know, it's like... I don't know how to make those decisions sometimes. Maybe I'm weak. He tells the church, you have a little strength. That's okay. He's got the key. It's important to know that he has the key. Because when you're weak, or you don't know, or you don't know who's there, there's no peephole, there's no camera... It's good to know God is in charge and has kept thy word and has not denied my name. So the church, this particular church, is not noted as being a real strong church, but it's noted as keeping the word, and you would think that'd be the same. But he says, thou hast a little strength. Maybe that's compared to mine. Maybe Philadelphia, if you compare Philadelphia to the other six churches, you find that Philadelphia is the best church. It has the most compliments. It's the only church, really, that's not rebuked. So I would say Philadelphia is a strong church if you compare them with other churches. But if you compare them with one that has the key of David, who's sovereign, who's authoritative, who opens and no man can shut, or shuts it and no man can open, then he looks at the church and you have a little strength. I think the little strength has to do with the comparison with what he said about himself. I shut and no man open. I open and no man shuts. So, comparatively speaking, you have a little strength, but you've kept my word. So I think that's what that means. That's just my opinion. Because Philadelphia is not a weak church in comparison with the other churches that he also addresses. If you were to ask a theologian the question of the seven churches of Revelation, which one is the best one? The scholar would say Philadelphia. Philadelphia. Yeah, it's the best. It's the best. It's the best. Yet Jesus said, I got the key, shut, open. You have a little strength, but you have kept my word and has not denied my name. It's not a weak church in that sense. He goes on, he says, behold, there's that word again, awareness. I will make them of the synagogue of Satan. Would the synagogue of Satan want to come into the door? Oh, I bet they would. I'll make them. I like that. Kind of emboldens me somewhat, knowing that I might have not very much strength compared to God, but he's going to make the synagogue of Satan behave in a certain way. That he has authority over the sinner. He has authority over the thief and the robber and the murderer. That when God said, I open the door or shut the door, that's not just to people who are walking with Christ. It applies to the enemies of Christ as well. The synagogue of Satan, I'll make them... which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, there's that word again, awareness. I will make them to come. I will make them to come. I'm glad he's keeping the door, right? I will make them come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Ooh, glory to God. God is so good. He is so powerful. His power is unmatched except by his love. His sovereignty, his authority over all creation. The sinner and the saint as well come under his authority. And God can make the sinner do whatever God decides he wants him to do. The Bible tells us that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Well, they're not going to donate that. God will make them. How many of you could use a little of the wealth of the wicked? You know, when the children of Israel went into the land of Canaan, they inherited houses that had already been built. They inherited fruit trees and vineyards. They spoiled the Egyptians when they came out. Was it the goodness of man and the goodness of the world and the goodness of the ungodly, which is an oxymoron? Was it the goodness of the hearts of the world that caused such a transfer of wealth from the wicked to the people of God? I want to tell you, God made them do it. He made them do it. So no matter what kind of need you are, wherever you are in your life, you just remember who the gatekeeper is, who decides who comes and goes in your life. If he shuts it, that's it. Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. The authority of God says, don't you touch mine anointed. Or he can say, all right, you can touch him, but you don't take his life. Like in the case of Job, God may say, okay, I'll let your faith be tried. I'll let you go through troubles. I'll guide you through it. You can do it. You can suffer for Christ. You can follow Christ's example. It's not going to be a life of ease. God will allow you to be tested. He'll allow you to go. He'll allow some knocks on the doors. He'll allow things to come. But then all right, get out of here. And he shuts the door and no man can open it again. He's just in authority. He's in charge of the access points of your life. Even to the extent of the robber and the thief and the murderer or whoever, in this case, the synagogue of Satan. I'll make them do what I want them to do for the church. For the church. Church at Philadelphia, or in our case, the church at Arkadelphia. Sometimes I'm on the phone with somebody. Okay, you can't give me your address, and I'll give them my address, Arkadelphia. And they say, what? Arkadelphia. How do you spell that? I said, Philadelphia, except Arca. Oh, okay. And it's the easiest way to tell somebody how to spell Arkadelphia, because everybody's heard of Philadelphia, and most people can spell it. Instead of A-R-K. Philadelphia, except it's Arkadelphia. And that's a good way. So I love Philadelphia because it reminds me of Arkadelphia. And that's just where I'm at and where my doors are right now. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. I'll keep you from it. Why? Shut the door. I shut the door, no man can open it. God can keep you from things that you're not prepared for. It's not God's will that you experience every temptation in the book. He knows what you're able to bear. He will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able to bear, but will, with the temptation, make a way of escape. Why? He's the doorkeeper. Because you have kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. I like that, because I believe we're living in the last days. Jesus said, pray that you may be found worthy to escape the things that are coming upon the earth. And that's possible because he can make the devil, he can make the Antichrist, he can make the false prophet, he can make anybody, no matter who they are. There's nobody that's not under the authority and the power of Almighty God and his Son, Jesus Christ. None of the things we're learning on Wednesday night, none of these things of great tribulation can happen unless they're permitted in heaven. If it happens on earth, it's because the authorization has been given in heaven. He's the gatekeeper. Hallelujah. And so, he says, behold, there's that word again, awareness. That's why I'm preaching it. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Now in verse 11, he starts to drift into something else here that raises my attention and causes me to look. Behold, I come quickly. He's the gatekeeper. He has the key and all this. He's in charge. But he tells me to hold fast that which I have. So now I see that he's getting into some responsibility awareness too. Not just aware of the sovereignty of God and the control that God has on the access points to my life, but also he's beginning now, as he comes to another church, he communicates also to the church that we have a responsibility also to be a gatekeeper. Let's go down to verse 20 and look at the other doors. It works the same way, except Jesus is not in charge of this one. I want you to hear me. This is a door that you're in charge of, and it's up to you. In verse 20, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door." Here we go. Behold, there's that word again. Awareness. Isn't that amazing that my sermons come out of the Bible? That's my intent. "Behold, I stand at the door." But this is a different door than what he's been talking about. I want you to look at how different it is. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Now, wait a minute. Now, the person who knocks is not in charge, right? How many of you understand me so far? If you're knocking, it's not your door. You're not sovereign over it. If you're knocking at the door, it's somebody else's door, and you're humbly requesting attention. So you may or may not enter in. Depends on who has the door. And he says, "I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice..." So it's a knock and it's a voice. And the reason for the voice, again, before the peepholes and before the cameras, the voice is what you had to have with a shut door. You had to have a voice. So the person who owns the door hears the knock. The second thing is there's got to be a voice. Who's there? And the person who is knocking has to do more than knock, because the voice identifies that the person wants to come in, and it's appropriate that he does. So the criteria is, if any man will hear my voice and open the door. It's a reversal of roles from the previous door that I mentioned. It's like we're the sovereign. We're in charge. And Jesus, the roles have been flipped. Jesus is on the outside. He doesn't have the key. I got the key. And he's not barging in. He's not forcing his way. He is knocking for permission. And if we hear his voice and we recognize his voice, then we exercise our will. It says, if you hear his voice. Some people don't hear it. Maybe you're in the back of the house. Somebody knocks. I've had people say, "Hey, I came by and I knocked. And I rang the bell. Nobody came. Didn't hear it. Maybe I wasn't there." So it's not automatic that because there's a knock, somebody's going to hear it. Or even your voice. "Hey, anybody in there?" May not hear it. So there's an if there. Knocking doesn't guarantee somebody will hear the knock. And saying, "Hey, it's just me, Martin. Can I come in? Can I have a cup of coffee?" I got to hear that. Sometimes it's not heard. That's sad. That's sad. That's why it says, "Behold." Awareness, because we have to be aware that there's a door in our lives that we have the key to. And that door is there for a reason. And it's not just for you. It's for other people as well. And so you've got to have a judgment. You have to have the ability to decide. And that is determined by what you hear the voice. It's not the knock. It's the Word. It's not the knock, but it's the Word. The knock is important because that lets you know we have a door issue. We have a desire on the part of someone to come into my life. The knock is an opportunity awareness thing. But it's the voice that gives you the clue. Do I open it or do I keep it shut? It's based upon the voice, the Word. In my case, the camera. Or the people. And even then you may, what do you want? What do you want? Who's there? I lost my cat. Oh, okay, well, I haven't seen your cat. I didn't invite him in, didn't offer a cup of coffee. We just talked cat in the doorway. In fact, I stepped out and shut the door behind me. Didn't let him in. Seemed like a nice guy. Talked about cats on my porch. Told me the history of the cat or whatever. Okay, I hope you find it. If I see the cat, you live across the street? Okay, I'll keep my eye open. And we had a conversation, but he didn't come in my house. Didn't come into my house. And it was not like God was in charge. I really felt that as my home was approached and the knock, I had to investigate. I had to be willing and able to hear something to help me make a decision. So he stands at the door. Jesus is standing at the door, your door. He stands at the door and he's not in charge. He's not in charge of this particular thing that's happening. You're in charge. And we got to hear his voice. Because the reason is because there's other knocks as well. Jesus is not the only one knocking. He's just one. There's just a lot of knocks. The same door that Jesus knocks on, the devil could knock on as well. The same door that Jesus knocks on, the thief could be knocking to try to get me to crack that door open. And so the voice is very important. And if it's a voice we don't recognize, we just don't open the door. Keep it shut. Keep it locked. And so the voice or the Word of God is very important because it gives you the information to say, do I welcome or do I reject? If it's Jesus, you're the church. This is to the church. Oh, well, if it's Jesus, there's no question. You're going to open it. If you identify the knocks of life as being from Jesus, you surrender to it. You say, welcome. Come on in. Wow, why are you here? What brings you in my neighborhood? Wow. You know, and it's just like, it's an honor to have Jesus coming in and approaching you on any particular day or moment or time of your life. And you know his voice. My sheep know my voice. I'm telling you, you got to know the voice to be able to control the door. And once you know it's God, that welcome mat's there for a reason. Now, we've put a welcome mat out. It says welcome. But I don't think we really mean it. I don't think we really mean it indiscriminately. Just for anybody. We have a welcome mat, but we got it locked and we want to know the voice. Oh, come on in. If I knock on Julie's door, I said, Julie, it's me. I don't want her saying, well, let me think about it. I'm daddy, okay? And I'm glad she's got the door locked. But when I say, hey, it's me, I expect that door to come. Daddy, come on in. I'll fix you supper. All that stuff. That's what I... The voice is important. And as we enter into these last days, there's a lot of forces and principalities and powers. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. I'm telling you, you're going to find more knocks at your door than ever before as we come into the last days. We have to be discerning. We know how to keep it shut. It should be shut most of the time. And then before we open it, we have to know the voice. Is this of God or is it not? because Jesus Christ is not the only one knocking at your door. Let me tell you that. He is not the only one knocking at your door. That's why he said, and hear my voice. If it's supernatural, does that automatically mean you should welcome it into your home? No. Is it witchcraft is supernatural? You don't want witchcraft in your home. So you know, is it because it seems to be nice? It seems to be harmless. What's the voice? Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh is not of God. But is that spirit of Antichrist? Whereof you have heard that should come. And even now already, John says, it's in the world. And the old Antichrist trying to get in. And there's certain parameters that God has built around you. There are doors and gates that God is in charge of. So the devil can only do what God permits him to do. But it does not absolve us of our responsibility to be gatekeepers of other areas of our life that God has committed to our volition and our will. There are certain things as the children of God, as you get older, that God allows you to have authority for your home and your family and your life. And there are some things you, especially men of the house, that are the head of the household, especially must you have discernment to hear the word of God before you start opening any doors. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's that authority of the head of the home that says this is the way we're going to live. So Jesus is going to be stopping by. Antichrist will be stopping by. Ignorant, unlearned people. Paul talked about them. Deliver me from unlearned people. Ignorant men. People in power. Government. Government knocks on your doors, sometimes without warrants. More than anything else, we need to be able to recognize that somebody is trying to get in. There's an old country song that says, somebody's knocking. Should I let him in? Anybody ever heard that? That girl, what's her name? What? What's her name? Terry Gibbs. That was her name. Thank you. I love her. I love her. She's wonderful. Because she got saved after that spell of popularity and fame that she received when she was just young, real young, played the piano. And I think she was blind. And she had several hits and real popular and real for just a short period of time. And she got saved and turned her life over to the Lord, raised her children in church. And I saw a video of her in a church, a small church, and the pastor asked Terry Gibbs to come and sing a special. She comes up to the front, just a little old piano, sits down, and she sang a special in that church. And one time I heard her sing there was another song, I can't remember what the name of it was, but she sang it on Bill Gaither's video one time, and that's where I first found out that she'd gotten saved. And so I kind of followed that, but she had that song, Somebody's Knocking, Should I Let Him In? And it goes on to talk about the danger of letting certain people into your home, and the temptation. The song, I think, was really kind of worldly, about the temptation of wanting that guy to come in, or whoever it was that was pursuing her. Should I let him in? Well, I probably shouldn't, but should I? And it was that kind of message in the song, which is totally worldly, but she found Christ and she changed that song. I don't think it was ever recorded, but she changed that song up a little bit, some of her other songs as well. And the one that she sang on Bill Gaither was the first thing I'll see is Jesus, talking about going to heaven. I don't know if she's dead or not, or if she's still living. This is quite a while back, but somebody's knocking. Every time I hear that, I think of Terry Gibbs. Somebody's knocking. So behold, I stand. Jesus is at the door. Not the sovereignty that we saw before. and he's going to say something, so you'll know it's him. Because there's a lot of knocks. It's the Word of God that makes the decision for you. It's that discernment that God wants us all to have in the last days. And that discernment starts with studying the Bible, hearing God, the sheep hearing the voice of the shepherd and knowing it and recognizing it. And if it's not God, if it's not confessing that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, it's the Antichrist. Don't open the door. But everybody, no. Well, it's that, no. It's the last days. We have to be careful about opening the door. If any man will hear the voice, hear my voice, and open the door. So it's like Jesus is wanting to do something. He's wanting to come into that access point in some area of your life. And he's not talking about salvation because he's talking to people that are already saved, okay? He's talking to the church. He's saying to church members, I want to come in and I'm going to knock at your door. And if any man, it's an individual thing, knock in, hear my voice, open the door. You say, well, Christ can open it if he wants to. It's a different door. It's your personal door of your accountability to God. It's your choice to open or keep it shut. And you're in authority. Why does he want to come in? Why is he knocking? Why is it that you have to open the door? Well, it's revealed here in verse 20. I will come into him. You hear the knock. Hello? Hear the voice. Oh, Jesus, I knew your voice. I'd know that anywhere. Open the door. The question is, not asked here, but my question is, why are you here? What's up? Why did you come by? Why are you knocking at my door? Why are you waking me up at night? Why are you getting my attention? Why am I feel that? Why do I feel something? That's the question. What? You're knocking. I can feel God knocking. And it may take a while for me to hear his voice, but I hear the knock. I may not know what the knock means, but I'm going to get in the Word. I'm going to get that voice. I got to hear the voice. Oh, okay. I'm going to surrender to it. Open the door. What's up? Well, what's up is answered by this. I will come into him and sup with him. Not save you. You're already saved. And there are certain things that God's in charge of and he's in authority. But there are certain things that Jesus is telling you. Behold it. Look at this. It's up to you if we have dinner together. It's up to you if we have fellowship. It's up to you if we have a personal growing relationship where we sit around and have a cup of coffee and talk about what's going on in your life. Boy. Wow. It's a revelation to me. The two sets of doors was a revelation to me, found in Revelation, ironically. The extent of your fellowship and communion with Jesus around the table. And it almost sounds blasphemous, but it's true. I just read it. Is up to you. It's up to you. Now, God reserves the right to do things or not to do things because of his will. He doesn't have to have your permission. And we deal with that every day as well. But I just want you to know, as we're entering in the last days, you can have coffee with Jesus. You can have him come in. And he's not there to rebuke you or to beat you up. Or he's not there to save you. You're already saved. You're a child of God, and he's coming by to visit you. And when he wants to come by and visit you, he wants there to be some willingness on your part where you say, I'll be the doorkeeper. I'll be the gatekeeper. I'll decide. It's my choice. You have been created in the image of God to assume certain responsibilities in this relationship with God. And Jesus likes that. He's sovereign. He could bust your door down and say, and take you by the nape of the neck and say, you're going to have coffee with me if I have to kill you. He could do that. Christ wants to be wanted. He wants to be invited. He likes the roles to be where he's the guest. That he comes into your door that you're in charge of, that you got the key to. Praise God. Well, I don't know how this is going over. I don't know if it's going. I'm not sure. What do you think, Calvin? Okay. Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. We're talking about supping with him and he with me. What is that? You know what that means. It's just what we call fellowship. Jesus doesn't want to make you do everything. He'll make you do, you know, he's going to protect you. And you're a child and he's the Heavenly Father. He's the big boss. He's the God. Yes, that. But you know, Jesus wants to come down on your level, come into your house, and he wants you to invite him into your door that you're in charge of. Because that's what a good relationship's all about anyway. It's not to be one-sided, even with God. With us and God, it's not to be just where he makes all the decisions. And we're just either recipients of blessings or we're the recipients of discipline. And we're just recipients or benefactors. Behold, I give you authority. Whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. It goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. With Adam, whatever you call those animals, you call it and I'll accept it, and that's what they'll be called. Who come up with an elephant for that thing? That's Adam. He did that. God didn't do it. Adam did it. Jesus tells his disciples, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread over scorpions and serpents and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. The spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. You call it. Whatever you ask in Jesus' name, I'll do it. Whatsoever you ask the Father, Jesus said, in my name, that will he do. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. That's the privilege, it's the responsibility, and the honor that comes with being a child of the King. Now, the King's in charge of the palace, but you know, if that child tells the cook, you know, I'd like some mac and cheese, I bet you that chef's going to get mac and cheese for the child of the King. I bet the children of the palace have certain privileges and responsibilities and authorities as well. The children who are just uneducated have more rank than the butler, than the chef, or the servants. Servants may be smarter, but the hirelings may be functioning in ways that the children of the King don't. And in many ways, the servants of the world are smarter than we are. But when you are a child of the King, there are certain powers and prerogatives that have been delegated to you. I give you power. He told Peter, and it blew Peter's mind, behold, I give you the keys of the kingdom. What does that mean? Well, key goes to a door. So we open and shut as well. And I believe that God is knocking. I feel it in my life. And I don't always know how to interpret it. Sometimes there, as this is applied spiritually, this may go on for days. It may take a few days for us to hear the knock. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And then we realize God's trying to get my attention. So I need to get a word from the Lord. I need a word from the Lord. Oh, we have to search the Scriptures, for in them we think we have eternal life. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Oh, God, what are you saying to me? Sometimes it's not easy. We don't know where to open the door. Is that God or is that the devil? I went through experience years ago. I didn't know if it was the devil. I didn't know if it was God. I didn't know. I just didn't know. But I knew there was a knocking going on. Who's at the door? So I decided a plan of action. When I would hear the knock, I'd get up, go to the Word, and get on my knees. If it was the devil, I'd show him. Don't bug him, boy. You bug him, he's going to get up and read the Word and pray. I don't want that. Or if it's God, then he'd have to be pleased with that, right? So I did that for a while, and I came to the realization that the devil and God both were knocking on my door. Both of them. It was kind of confusing at first. But the Word of God clarified it, and it came to pass just like God wanted it. It's a wonderful thing. Wonderful thing. But there was a distance. There was a space between the knocking and the okay, I can open this door, but not this one. This is a blessing. This is a threat. And sometimes you just don't know that automatically. It could be something that you wouldn't want, but it's a real blessing to you if you just hear the Word of God. Just trust God and say, "Whoa, man, this may not feel good. It may not be nice. It may not be something I would desire." But you find out later, because of the Word, you went ahead and opened the door. You trust God. He comes in, sits at your table. How you doing? Oh man, yeah. Did you read my Word? Yeah, I read that. Well, hey, if you think that's good, go over to the next chapter and read that tomorrow. Okay, Lord, yes. You got any problems? You got anything you're concerned about? Anything you want to talk to me about? I want to tell you, that's a relationship that Jesus wants to have with every one of us, where we have a chat with Him. We have a conversation with Him. We sit down. It's not just going to Him every time we want something or every time we are asking Him for a favor, but it's a cup of coffee. It's a cup of coffee, if you know what I mean. If you're a social drinker, you know what I'm talking about. That appeals to me. I will come in if you recognize the knock, you recognize my voice. If you open the door, I'll come in, I'll sit with you, and we'll sup together. Sup really means supper. I may kind of think of a cup of coffee, but supper. Sup. With you and you with me. And that's a dynamic that's different than the other picture that's true as well. That He's the sovereign God. He makes all the decisions. It's going to be shut. It's going to be open. I decide it, and no man can change it. No man can change it. Thank God for that. That's the foundation of God being God and me being me. But then we progress as the church also to the realization that there is communion. There is fellowship with Jesus. Woo, hallelujah. Father, we love you and we thank you.